It's All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Richard Hake. The proposals are in for two new residential towers in Brooklyn Bridge Park, and Mayor de Blasio is calling for 30% of the units to be affordable housing. The towers will rise 15 and 31 stories, and the money they generate will be used to help pay for the park, which is funded through a private-public partnership. The towers are sparking a furious debate, though, in the neighborhood of Brooklyn Heights. Some residents don't want the affordable housing because they say it will mean less money for the park. Some are worried those units will lower their property values. Others just don't want the buildings at all. This debate raises a question when we talk about affordable housing. What exactly are we talking about? With me now is WNYC's business and economics editor, Charlie Herman. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Richard.
So, Charlie, what is affordable?
Well, there really is no standard definition, and this is part of the problem when we talk about affordable housing. You do have the federal government through the Housing and Urban Development Agency. They have kind of a standard measured which says that you should not pay more than 30% of your income to housing. Now, there was actually a recent report that came out from the Citizens Budget Commission, and they looked at New York and found that just over half of New Yorkers are paying more than that, more than 30% of their income on housing, and that number has actually been ticking up so that people are paying a lot more, clearly, for housing in New York.
And we've heard the term a lot, affordable housing, because Mayor de Blasio has this goal of creating or preserving 200,000 units of affordable housing, right?
Yeah, and when he's talking about this, really what he's talking about is government-regulated, subsidized housing. And this is the sort of housing that gets some sort of support either from the federal government, from the state, or from the city government. And that could be tax breaks, it could be assistance with financing the development of the building, maybe it's giving the developers greater leeway in how tall they can build the building or where they can actually build it. It's trying to incentivize the builders to make these subsidized housing. Now, what happens there in general, and not always, is what they do is they look at the household income and they come up with this number which is called the area median income. And for that area median income, if you make about 60% or less of it, then it's considered affordable housing.
So this number is different for different neighborhoods. Is that correct?
Well, no. Actually, it's sort of one big number that they come up with for all five boroughs as well as a couple of the counties around New York. So it goes up to like Westchester and Putnam. They take this number and the sort of the benchmark is a family of four making $83,900. That is considered the area median income, or AMI. And it's really crucial number, because when you hear people talk about, oh, 60% AMI or 80% AMI, what they're talking about is if you're this family of four making $83,900, $84,000, what is 60% of that? How much could you afford if you were making 60% of that income? And when you have that dollar amount, they will then figure out, okay, your rent can only be 30% of that.
So when a developer goes in to build a new apartment building like this one in Brooklyn Bridge Park, how do they decide, or who decides who gets to move in the affordable units?
Well, again, a lot of it depends on if it's a federal program. Oftentimes there are requirements of what percentage of the AMI, of the area median income, that they have to make available to people who make lower incomes. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just negotiated. So if you look at what's happening in Brooklyn with the towers there, they're looking at a much broader range, from 80% of that number up to 135%. So that means that, say, a family who is making 165% of that base number I was talking about, they're making about $140,000. They can pay a rent of about $3,400 a month.
Which is still a lot of money, not necessarily affordable for the people already living in the area.
Well, that's part of the problem. People living there may not be able to afford that, but for that family that's making, say, $140,000, they wouldn't be able to afford to live in that building if the rents were set by just the market.
So is there a misconception about what affordable housing is?
I think there is. I mean, when I was reaching out and talking to a lot of people who study this, they say that a lot of people confuse this with public housing, that people, when they hear affordable housing, they often attribute it to, you know, very low-income people. And that's not really what we're talking about here. We're talking about teachers and firefighters.
And what sort of effect does affordable housing have on the surrounding community and the neighborhood?
Well, there's been some studies that have looked at this, and what they generally find is it doesn't necessarily have a negative effect. It's a little hard to, you know, isolate all the elements, but it seems to be that when the government invests in property, when they get developers to actually focus and build more, you have more people moving there, you have more services coming, and as a result, it can actually help a neighborhood and push up property values.
Okay, WNYC's business editor, Charlie Herman. Charlie, thanks a lot.
Thank you.